I don't even remember how I started these things. It's been so long since we've done one. You want to do it, Cody? You're going
to
take it
Welcome to the Blue Crew. The boys are back. You know, the season was cooked, but we came on in here. We grabbed Avery's ass from Puerto Rico, and here we are.
Well done. Well done. Yes, this is the Blue Crew podcast, the New York Rangers podcast, and the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Johnny Lazarus, joined by Cody Franco and Avery Zaretsky. And I don't even know when our last episode was. November 4th, I think I saw it was.
Damn.
It's been a long time. I mean, honestly, just the three of us have been super busy, mostly Avery, so we're putting the blame on him. Because he's been in Puerto Rico and Tokyo and all these other places and doesn't watch any of the Ranger games. But all of a sudden, now he wants to talk about hockey. So, Avery, the floor is yours. What's on your mind?
First, I missed you guys. That's honestly a huge part. That's a huge part of why I like doing the podcast is – I mean, listen.
Well, we still do talk every day. Like,
I
would say it's like four of us. Avery's down to like once a week.
Yeah, I don't really.
I got lunch with Cody before I left for Tokyo, and it like brought me back to some good times. So I do genuinely miss you guys. Yeah. It's just like, man, I don't know how to feel about sports as a whole in general because I've stopped like watching a lot of sports just like caring a lot less. And I've been better mentally overall. So it's been good, but also I think it's really just because I've been distracted with work. Jake obviously had his fight, biggest fight of his life. And then I went straight into a Tokyo vacation. So
yeah,
obviously with the time changes and all the stuff going on in my life, I really haven't had much time to watch. And I know it's been terrible. I mean, I obviously hear it within my family. We're all still diehards in our own way. It's just like, I'm trying to be stress-free right now.
So let me get this straight. Your work is going great. You're sleeping better. You're incredibly happy. And life is just overall good. This must stop. You have to start watching the Rangers.
Yeah. Like people want me to be miserable. I'm seeing tweets like saying like either it's my fault because the second I stop caring, quote unquote, the Rangers have been terrible and people just want me to be miserable. It's actually insane. Like people always talk about how like they want to like be happier and try to find new things in life to make them happy, and I'm trying to do that, but people are begging me to come back and be miserable. So I am going to the game on Sunday. It is, yeah, Sunday. So we'll see what happens. If they win, maybe I just have to stay in Jersey and go to every game.
Yo, what's the craziest bug you ate in Japan?
Bug? I didn't eat any crazy bugs, but it was really just like a lot of Wagyu. I think the difference, and I don't know if this is completely true, but Wagyu is so much cheaper there because I think it costs a lot of money to import it here. So
are you telling me you walked through the streets of Tokyo and didn't just grab one of those sticks with a bug on it and eat it?
They don't have that, bro.
That's such a thing in Tokyo.
No, it's not. It's really not.
Have you been there?
Tokyo... No. Tokyo,
but so I've seen enough movies that I know that shit is real.
We went to Osaka and Kyoto, which are like very traditional areas, like very, it's like old Japan type. And then Tokyo is like New York City, bro. It's very similar.
Heard it's the cleanest city in the world.
Yeah, super clean, but in terms of like industrialized and like when you walk down, there's an area called Ginza in Tokyo where it's like all like super designer stores like Louis Vuitton, all that. Mm. And it's very much like New York.
Johnny, but
it's amazing.
I have no idea.
That's so pathetic.
What is it?
Mount Fuji.
Yeah, I would have never gotten that.
Dude, if you go to Japan, Mount Fuji is like at the top of my list, like must go. It's the coolest thing ever.
Tokyo is on my list for sure, but not like.
Do you want to go?
One of my tops. Not with you.
Did I say, do you want to go together?
That's kind of like how it sounded.
That's the total implication, but I'd love to go back.
I mean, I don't get that much free time these days, and the last thing I want to do is go on vacation with Johnny Lazarus, but I was just asking if you want to go.
I'm a terrible person to go on vacation with.
I can imagine, dude. Your ADHD is horrible. Yeah.
And I don't really make plans. I don't like necessarily have such an interest in doing stuff. I just do like whatever. Like I'm just down to do whatever. I don't like seek out things to do.
That's so you're a beach guy. Is what you're saying.
No, I actually hate the beach.
So you just suck.
I just need someone to take the lead, and I'm down for whatever. And I just bring the good energy.
I don't hate that. You need a guy like that in your group. Yeah. I don't hate that.
I don't complain. I don't sulk. I'm there and I have a good time, but I'm not going to tell people where to go.
And it's a sick life. Like, you've set that expectation and now you don't need to worry about anything. You're just you're a coaster, which
that's why I'm single.
Dude, Johnny's kind of like Stan from South Park.
What?
You know?
No.
Yeah, I'm sure some people get that reference. He won't. But yeah.
I know who Stan is. Stan Marsh. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, do you?
I don't get the – I don't understand the
– because he's just the guy who's there. Doesn't ever take initiative and
– I disagree with that. But all right. Well, we're getting off topic.
That's fine.
CabaCon got scratched. What do you guys think about that?
That's that you really led into that one. Yeah, it's so hard. And listen, this episode is going to be hard for me because, like I said, I barely watch, but
you have an emotional attachment to Katko. So you start.
Yeah. I love Katko, and I don't really know why he would be scratched. I don't know why really.
Peter Laviolette said to get fresh legs in the lineup.
Yeah. But like I said, I haven't really been watching, but hasn't everybody sucked? So what's the point?
Yeah. Well, that's the outrage.
Yeah.
The outrage is he shouldn't have been the one who scratched. There's guys who have been playing a lot worse than him. Cough, cough, Mika, you suck. And, you know, there's other guys who should have been scratched, and Laviolette took out Katko as a cop-out. That's what it came down to.
Yeah, it seems like it was a cop-out. Now, I saw something today where I forget who came out. Maybe Orlov came out and said Laviolette, made him hate hockey, or is it?
Kuznetsov.
It was Kuznetsov. Yeah, it was one of the Capitals.
They didn't see eye to eye, those two.
Yeah. I guess that could be an issue here, right?
Well, here's the thing, right? It's like this team is what have they lost 10 of 12?
They've lost 10 of their last 13.
10 of 13. So they've lost 10 of their last 13. At what point do you look at the coaching staff, if not already, and say, huh? The fact that literally 15 players don't like playing hockey anymore overnight in the last few weeks is a problem and might not be the player's fault and might be some form of a locker room cancer, right? So, where does that stem from, right? I know everybody says the memo that Drury put out probably rattled people, but you can get over that stuff. I feel like that stuff happens all the time in sports when a GM puts out a note and says, hey, this guy's available. A perfect example is the Houston Astros just put out that their ace is available after they've won three of the last 5 years. So it happens all the time, right? So it's either the Rangers are soft and they got their feelings hurt and Chris Drury ruined them, which I don't think is actually the answer, or there's something else going on there, whether it's Laviolette, I don't know, but the fact that 15 guys now hate playing hockey outside of Will Cooley is very bizarre.
Well, I just pulled up this article. I looked it up because, Avery, I didn't even see this today, but it was written by Chris Cerullo on RMNB. And the headline is, Dmitry Orlov explains why he believes Evgeny Kuznetsov's tenure with the Capitals ended so poorly. In quotes, I think the relationship with the coach had an effect. And let me just pull up the long quote that's written here, which says... Let me find it 1 second. Ads. Of course, we discuss things, share them with each other, although sometimes you keep your worries to yourself, Orlov said to Sport Express per a Google translation. But I think the relationship with the coach had an effect. When he trusts you, you see it, and it's very important. But when something worries you and you withdraw into yourself, close yourself off, dig into yourself, it starts to bother you, especially for such an open guy as Zenya. I guess Zenya is what he calls Kuznetsov. That's a pretty interesting quote. I didn't even see this today.
I don't know anymore. It feels like the past three or four coaches, it just seems like the first year or two are great, and then it just all fizzles out. There's no consistency, and that's what scares me. I don't know what it is.
True, but I feel like... I don't know. This might be a hot take, but I feel like the Rangers didn't have to fire Gallant. They just did because they were like, okay, we can get somebody better. So I don't know if I necessarily agree with that in totality. I think Laviolette, I don't know. I mean, I don't know Laviolette that well, obviously known from his time on the Caps and some other teams, but from what I've seen, I mean, I just find it beyond bizarre that 15 guys just decided to wake up 1 month ago and say, hey, I don't like playing hockey anymore, even though we're the exact same team that was one game away from the Stanley Cup last year.
Two wins. That was just me being a dick. But I think what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing is just like, it's not necessarily X's and O's. It's all mental mistakes that I'm seeing. Like, it's, you know, a guy pinching in when the other team has full possession and then they go back down 2-on-1. It's a forward not covering for the point. It's a D going down to the net off the rush and, you know, just getting themselves out of position. It's these little things that aren't necessarily like they're youth level hockey mistakes. This is something I was saying the other day.
Yeah.
And
it is terrible.
I think it's just a mental buy-in, which ultimately can be blamed on the coach, right? If the coach can't get the players to buy in, that's when you blame the coach. And that's kind of, it's kind of what's happening a little bit. Yeah. But at the same time, it's that no one seems to be able to make a tape-to-tape pass, and the execution is just horrendous. Yeah. Like, you're seeing guys like Lafreniere, who was so dominant last year and unbelievable in the playoffs, now not necessarily seem like disinterested, but so much quieter in the games. And that's been since he signed his extension, I think. Like, he was pretty good to start the year. And then after the contract, he has not been as good.
Look at yesterday, the last 2 minutes of the game when they pulled the goalie against St. Louis. Lafreniere played tic-tac-toe passes with Fox for a minute and 30 seconds before they got a shot on net. It was absurd. They were just loft to Fox, loft to Fox, loft to Fox. And it's like, just shoot the puck. Like, you know, I feel like if this was him the first 20 games of the season, 15 games of the season, he would have started ripping it, and he was playing a lot better. And I think we talked about this, but he has like 3 points in his last 10 or 11 games. And yeah, I mean, you said it best. He's disinterested. And I think,
I don't think he's disinterested. I think there's something going on in that room. That's not what I said. I said he's been quieter.
You literally said the word.
I said I don't want to say he's interesting.
Oh, okay.
Quieter. I think that's what I said, at least, but that's what I meant. But there's something that's so clear. Like, they said it last night, Valley and John Giannone in the post game about things being contagious. And like last year, that winning energy and everything they built from training camp out was contagious in a positive way. And now what's happening from training camp out, or at least the last month or so, is that everything that's happening is contagious in a negative way. And a lot of that has to do with how they start games. And when you start a game, and I've been on a lot of shitty teams that have had bad starts, when you start a game and things don't go your way off the bat, it just creeps into your mind, almost in like human nature, that like, oh, here we go again, right? Like, that's kind of what's happening right now. And last year, the opposite was like, oh, we're down, but we'll get back in this, right? Like, the fans believed it, the team believed it. Like, the Rangers were never out of a game last year. And now it seems like whenever something goes wrong, they'll never get back in it. Like, and that's a lot of just mental psyche. It's not necessarily what they're doing or how they're playing. It's just when you see something happen that's a continuous problem, it's hard to not think about that continuing to happen and spiraling.
But I guess my question is, sure, that might be possible, but how does that affect an entire hockey team? How does every single person on the team?
It's just contagious. It's not everybody. There are three or
except
four.
Except for Will Cooley, it's everybody, I feel like.
Brett Berard, Philip Hedel, like, I think Hedel's been great. I think Kako's been solid. I did say that Kako, I didn't notice him once in the Kings game. Like, I didn't notice Kaapo Kakko at all in that game. And I'm not saying he deserved to be scratched for that, but like,
I mean, Berard's played like four games and Kako sat out so Berard can come back in. So like,
no,
yeah.
Berard went in for VZ originally and then VZ came back in for Kako.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
It's such a major team game, bro. Like, if everybody's not bought in, like, your team's not, like, at this point, a domino has to fall. And I don't think it's Chris Drury yet.
I kind of feel like
I think Drury's the first one,
which could happen, but I think it's crazy. Like, he's made all the right moves, in my opinion. I think he's gotten stuff done. Truba, like, who knows any other GM. Are they getting that done? Like, we don't know. For him to get that done this season was big. And
He didn't make all the right moves. He did.
I know. But like you, it's always like the typical. You look back to St. Louis Blues 2019. They make a coaching change and then they go on a run. But it's one of those things that could happen. So like, I don't really know if the GM move is the right move, especially in season.
And so what fixes
like
that?
I said, there needs to be a domino to fall. I don't know. I was actually I did some research for the show. I was looking at the upcoming schedule, bro.
Yeah, it's not
like,
going to come.
The Rangers might lose like 8 out of their next 10. They're literally
playing 10 of 13.
Yeah, they're playing like the top teams in the league.
Yep.
It's pretty bad. But it's also one of those things where like if they can string a couple wins together, like get their confidence back, like it's such a highs and lows sport, like they could go on a run. They've had the on paper talent. They didn't lose that much from last season. Like you said, they were two wins away from the Stanley Cup final. Like they didn't lose that much. They need to just figure something out. And I don't know what it is. Johnny's been on teams where there's been ruts, and I've been on teams maybe not as high level, but it's all the same thing.
So let me ask you guys, when you're down, you're down.
It's tough.
Let me ask you guys this. If they play 10, I think I saw it was 13 of their next opponents, 10 are in playoff spots right now. So they have
I can just read it out.
Yeah.
Their next games are against Nashville, Dallas, Carolina, Devils, Lightning, Panthers, Bruins, Capitals, and then Blackhawks, Stars, Devils, Vegas, Colorado. Like they could literally
lose six straight after the Nashville game. So here's what I want to ask you guys. If two scenarios, one, if the Rangers beat Nashville and then somehow beat Dallas and start getting some confidence back and can win a few games, doesn't mean they're going to win all of them, can lose a couple, can win a couple. What do you do, right? What do you do with this team? That's number one. And number two, if the Rangers in their next 10 games lose 8 games, which is incredibly possible based on how they're playing, what do you do?
Someone will be fired for sure. It's no question.
I mean, I think things are going to change sooner than later if they can.
Yeah.
But listen, I think what we're seeing right now too is like, and correct me if I'm wrong, and this might be a stretch, but when they were coming back against St. Louis last night, was there a part of you that like didn't even want them to win just because like it was just so disgusting?
Like, no.
I think there's a part of me that like, if they do find ways to win but continue to not play well in those wins, like we're just fooling ourselves a bit.
Yes.
I agree with that. It's kind of how I feel with like the Giants right now. Like
the Giants are a dumpster fire, dude. They've always been a dumpster fire.
Are the Rangers not right now?
Yeah. Point being, Cody, I think it's clear that every Ranger fan has come to the agreement that what we have right now is not the answer.
For sure.
And they could win 4 games in a row, and I still think people would feel that way.
I think
having success and finding wins, while we always want our team to win, it almost might be more beneficial to just let it hit rock bottom and then fucking figure it out somehow and then try to turn it around.
I feel like we're at rock bottom.
No, we are, but I'm saying like wins will just mask that a little bit.
I don't need them to win a lot of games.
You just said the St. Louis game. Like what would winning that game? I mean, had they come back in that fashion and won that game, like maybe something changes.
The last 10 minutes of that game was the first time I've seen the Rangers actually try in about the last 240 minutes, like dead ass. That was in 4 games. That was the first 10 minutes I've actually seen them care and try and like do something.
I thought they were going to tie it.
They didn't. Surprise. The thing I'll say is yes, you're not wrong, right? About, hey, should they just figure it out when they lose a bunch more games? Fine. But I like ripping the Band-Aid off. And I feel like we know this team isn't it, right? So, like, why not make the changes now? Like, maybe they are. Maybe they're trying. Like, I don't think the Trouba change, like Trouba's always been a fucking problem. This guy has never been this great player for the New York Rangers. So I don't think trading Trouba.
I think that's unfair.
Why is it unfair?
Listen, he's not the best defenseman in the NHL. He's not an $8 million defenseman. If he was making $3 million, he wouldn't be as big of a problem.
Obviously, but he's not making $3 million. He's making $8 million.
No, but you're saying that he's always been a problem. Like,
That's not what I said. I said for the Rangers, he's never been this like worldly defenseman.
I said he's always been a problem.
No. I'm saying the contract, Trouba, like not living up to where he should, has always been a problem for the New York Rangers. It's always been a thing.
Up until the Tampa series in 2022, I do not remember it being a thing.
And then, dude, it was
since
it was always a thing, bro. His first season, he underperformed and he got hurt, and everybody was like, "Oh, he got hurt, so we can't see his full season." Then his second season, he underperformed. He was fine. Then his third season, dude, it's always been a problem.
But since he took that penalty in Game 3 against Tampa, where the Rangers had a 2-0 lead, and then I think he was on the ice for another goal against. I think it's just spiraled since that.
I think he's never been the guy that he was in Winnipeg, whether it's a big market, whether he just masked, you know, that 50-point season in Winnipeg that caught people off guard. I don't know, but I don't know. I mean,
21-22, he had 11 goals, 28 assists,
yep.
39 points in 81 games.
That was his only good season as a Ranger.
He was plus 25 that year.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it was an unfortunate situation because I've always really wanted to like Jacob Trouba. It's just
Who hasn't?
It just didn't work out in terms of like what he was making and his impact. Like, he obviously was struggling.
Yeah, mentally. But his early years, there was no.
Yeah, no. I think there's recency bias from a lot of people on Jacob Trouba. I think when they got him at the time, it was worth his contract. They didn't know what was going to come from it. He was obviously like an up and coming like potential star defenseman. So, listen, it is what it is. It's behind us now, and I think Drury made the right decision. We know he did, and now it's just like, what happens next? Like, this is this will be the biggest test of the season for the Rangers. If they don't string together some wins, we're looking at a potential like missing playoffs type season, which would be detrimental because we talked about it last year in the beginning of this season. Like, this is legit the last run for this core. Like, after this season, who knows if we'll see Panarin in a Rangers jersey again? Who knows if we'll see, like, these are guys who are built to be in the playoffs, and they're just not performing at that level, and it sucks, and it's unfortunate. And no matter how much I watch, it still hurts me. And I hate to see them struggle.
You know who's not built for the playoffs? Who sucks?
Who's that?
Who is it?
I don't know. You've been
talking about him for months, Avery.
Not built for the playoffs. Who suck? Mika? Yeah, I mean, I've always been transparent about how I feel about him. It's unfortunate that he's just not playing up to his standard.
Wait, what have you felt about him?
He just hasn't been good in the last two seasons, at least. And like, his stats can back it up at some point, but also it's just like, sometimes you can't just look at the numbers. Like, you have to look at like the every single game individual play, and it just hasn't been up to par, hasn't been up to the contract. And also, well,
I think with him it started in the Devil series. Like, that regular season he was,
you think won. That season, you think that series broke him?
It might have. I mean, he was not good in that series, but that season he was unreal.
Two years ago he almost had
40 goals. He had 39
but
goals.
Since that playoff series, this guy has been a liability. Okay, he's been a liability on the ice. He's somebody who doesn't care. I've said it before.
I just don't think he's having fun. I don't think
he's
having
not.
Fun at all.
He's not.
I don't think he enjoys playing hockey.
I agree with you. I completely agree with you. And I think at what point, here's the thing with Mika. He's the one guy on the team who our luck has a full no move clause. He's unmovable unless they pull a, hey, we're going to put you on waiver situation, which they would never do. And yeah, I don't know what you do with him. We have this guy through the 2020s. We literally have him for six more years. Like, it's real, real bad. And yeah, I think you're right. I think he does not like playing hockey anymore and isn't having fun. Maybe his priority shifted. Like, honestly,
I thought last year was an outlier, and I thought this year he'd really prove everyone wrong again and show what he was. Because listen, we're not so far removed from talking about Mika Zibanejad being a top 10, arguably top 5 center in the NHL. Like, that was a conversation 2 years ago. It was
absolutely, yeah.
And there's something, you know, I know Larry put it out or whatever, but there's something clearly mentally that's a challenge for him. And I think that's a challenge for a lot of NHL players. Some guys can get through it, other guys can't. Like, sometimes it breaks you as a human. Like, you know, I think we've all been in situations where it's just fucking mentally tough, and the tough ones are able to get out of it, and sometimes sensitive ones aren't. But
it's crazy. Like, we know the talent's there. So, like,
when the pucks aren't going in either, when you're not seeing the results on the ice, it's so hard to just mentally snap out of that. Like, every one timer he takes, you know, where 3 years ago he was probably like, oh, this is going in, like, he felt it. Right now, you can just tell he doesn't think it's going in when he shoots it.
Of course,
he thinks of his daughter and he just smiles.
Of course. But what I'm saying is, like, as one of the top teams in the industry with all the resources that we have, like, there's something that this organization needs to do for Mika to help him figure it out. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, let him take some time away from hockey. Like, I don't know what it needs to be, because I don't know him personally, but something needs to change, because we know he has that ability. We've seen it before. Like, that just doesn't just snap and go away. Like, I still feel like he could still score 40 goals, but like, something needs to change. Like, they need to figure something out.
He's become a pass first player. He doesn't think to shoot the puck anymore. And you even see it when, you know, when he winds up. I don't know if, I mean, Avery hasn't watched as much, but I know you've been watching Johnny, and like, I don't know if you've noticed this about Mika, but when he takes his one timer, he either pump fakes it and passes, or he takes his one timer and just misses the net. And well, I feel like Mika of old, like, no matter where this guy's shooting from, he's shooting it on net. Like, when he takes his one timer, and I just don't know if his mind is elsewhere. I just feel like his priorities have shifted the last few years, and he's not having fun playing for this team. And like, that's fine, but I think a very real conversation needs to happen with him and figure that out, because you want to talk about like cap stricken and like this team being screwed, especially if they bought him out, like you suggested, and you know, figure it out and move a lot of guys. Like, this guy's going to kill us. $8.5 million tied up for six more years.
That said, though, while he is part of the problem, he's not the entire problem.
Sure.
Team right now has a lot of problems. And I think one thing I saw the other night, though, against the Kings, or other day, I guess it was an afternoon game, Mika did get one-timer off in the second period clean, and Darcy Kuemper read it the entire way. He pushed from left to right, and it went right into his stomach. And Mika bent his knees, like, put his stick down his knees, then looked up at the sky, and, like, my guess is that he said, fuck, like, you know, like just the frustration let out. And he got off a good shot. Like, he got a lot on it, but Darcy Kuemper knew exactly what was coming. And I think that little just, like, outburst, that was at least emotion, you know? But again, it's almost, I haven't seen any positive emotion. Like, every time he does score, it looks like it's a relief,
more than
joy. And I think that's just been the cloud that's been over this team for the past like 3 or 4 weeks. And Vinny Trocheck said that after one of the games recently, like, it feels like, I think it was the day Trouba got traded, it feels like there has been a cloud over this team for, you know, a bit.
And I mean, same thing with Kreider, man. Kreider's got, what does he have, 11 points in 25 games? He just got his first assist the other day. Like, he does. You're telling me this guy looks like he's having fun? He doesn't look like he's having fun at all.
Oh, well, no one's going to have fun when you lose 10 out of 13. But even before that, it was all frustrating. It was a lot of frustration.
Yeah.
And listen, I think, you know, just with the way this has spiraled, it's fucking tough to get out of it.
It's hard to come up with an answer, because they started.
There is
so
none.
Good.
No one has an answer.
Because if they started like shit and then just played like shit, you'd be able to come up with some hypothesis as to why they might be the way they are. But like, legit, for the way they started in terms of like this could be a historical season to now it's this bad. There's no answer. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this.
Well, that's the problem too. And honestly, like you guys probably haven't been paying attention to the Islanders much, but the post game quotes that you get from Patrick Waugh are fucking unbelievable. Like I would love for Laviolette to say the things that Patrick Waugh's been saying, because there was one game, and I forget which Islander game it was. I think it might have been against the Blackhawks at home, where Patrick Waugh said, if I was referring to Sorokin or Varlamov, whichever goalie was net, if I was him, I'd come in the locker room and break my stick in half for the guys doing what they did to me. Like, because the Islanders had a lead, and I think they let up like 3 goals in the last like 4 or 5 minutes to make it a 5-4 game. And Patrick Waugh basically just like called out the entire team in front of Sorokin. And I think, you know, the answers that we're seeing right now from all the players. And listen, as a media guy, like when you know how players answer something, it makes it so much harder to ask a good question, because you know they're going to like dance around it. Vinny Trocheck's one of those guys who answers everything honestly. But when we ask Laviolette if he's going to like consider scratching somebody, he doesn't necessarily give the answer. You know,
I have a great hypothetical for you guys.
Yeah.
If you could rewind the clock when the Rangers swept the Caps last season and be where they are today in the state of the organization, would you trade places with the Washington Capitals, who got swept? Yes,
obviously.
No, but as an organization, where they're going, and they're 21-6 right now.
Yes, but they have one of the best farm systems in the entire their AHL team just won back-to-back Calder Cups. They have great young players in Alexei Protas, Connor McMichael. They have some decent young talent. They have goaltending. They have a great young coach. And listen, the Rangers didn't win the Stanley Cup last year, so what does that first round sweep matter? Doesn't, you know?
Yeah, to me, listen, I genuinely don't fear for the Rangers' future. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, but like also Washington has Ryan Leonard in the pipeline, Cole Hudson in the pipeline. Like they have some decent young prospects too.
So do we, bro. Gabe Perreault.
No, I'm not.
No, exactly. Like if things go south, like it's not the end of the. If things go south, it's not the end of the world.
I said the Caps are not in a bad spot by any means with their future and with their present.
No, I'm not saying they're in a bad spot. I'm saying, would you have rather gone through those emotions and get swept, and then be where you are today? If we were 21-6,
well, where the Rangers are today, we know is not good enough. So what is being here today?
It was a great Rangers went on a great run. We can play hypothetical all we want, but
I have zero regret about last season. Was the like second time ever in my life where I thought that team was winning the Stanley Cup. Like,
yeah, I really, that in 2014.
There was no doubt in my mind after Alexander Wenberg scored in overtime in Game 3 in Florida. I thought that team was winning the Cup. Avery and I saw each other in Florida. I think it was a Game 4. Game 3. It was after Lafreniere had that nasty goal in Game 3.
Yeah.
And we were like, they're gonna fucking do it. Like this team's gonna
It was it was very evident. And obviously I put everything I had into it. So
we know.
But man, it's very interesting. Listen, the craziest part in all of this is no matter how bad they've been playing, there's still a game over 500. Like this season could completely turn around if they
They just need to wake up. I mean, listen, the facts are there's actually no better. I would say there's not a better 2 weeks in a schedule where a team could say, hey, we should probably play some hockey and try and win some hockey games against some of the best teams in the league and see, let's give this thing a go. Will they do it? Who the fuck knows? Right.
Yeah. So here's the only point that I really wanted to make on the show tonight, because I kind of tweeted it last night, but like not really. I think in hockey, you can almost like, listen, losses are never necessarily acceptable, but you can live with a loss if your team plays the right way and actually put in a good fight. Like how many times have we seen the Rangers win games where they're outshot 50-20, but their goaltender plays amazing. The other team dominates, but they just don't find a way to win. Like those are the losses you can probably live with. The problem that I'm having with this team right now is that the games aren't even fun.
Yeah.
Like we're watching this team play and not only are they losing, but it's not even exciting games. Like they're not even in the games. Like that's
they're going down 3-0 in the first 10 minutes of the game.
and that's the biggest issue for me. It's like from the end of the first period, it's like, where's this going to go wrong? You know, like, and it's funny because I was sitting in the press box next to some Blackhawks reporters, and they had the opposite experience where the Blackhawks start a game great. The Blackhawks score the first goal in like a majority of their games this year, and then they always collapse. And I was like, well, you guys haven't seen this Ranger team play because the Rangers are not going to win this game. And they were like so shocked at how the Blackhawks controlled that third period. Like the Chicago Blackhawks, who are objectively one of the worst teams in the NHL.
Yeah, no, they are the worst. They are the worst.
I think Nashville might be the bottom now.
But I think, yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah, either way, to your point. They went to the Garden and they controlled the game against the Rangers in a game that felt like it was like, how do you not win that? How do you not even just show a little bit of life? And listen, I'm not going to be the guy. I'm not going to be the guy that's like, you got to call out Matt Rempe. I don't think Matt Rempe helps this team win hockey games. But if you need a little bit of life or just a little bit of fuck you, like, why not? I mean, that's been the big, like, the Garden is so dead. It's so dead. I've never seen Madison Square Garden this many games in a row just be so lifeless. But to the fans' credit, they have nothing worth cheering for right now.
I guess my question, and I admittingly haven't listened to these as much, but like the post-game pressers, I mean, obviously the vibes aren't high, but what is LaViolette even saying? Like
his frustration has grown a lot.
Yeah.
And listen, he's not the guy who's going to call people out clearly, but he is starting to get disgusted. He is.
Like, is he like saying that, like, or is he like alluding to it in certain ways?
No, he's not alluding to any individuals, and he's defending his players, which I do respect as a coach. But like, you know, last night, you know, I wasn't in the post game last night, but he gives Mika only 13 minutes of ice time last night, you know, pretty much sits him in the third period. I know he put him back out for the 6-on-5. And that was a big talking point today, is like, why the hell were Cooley and Berard not on the ice for 6-on-5 with how well they played last night? Yep. Those are two guys that have done nothing but the right things night in, night out, and they should be rewarded for it.
Yep.
But also, you know, listen, like, you don't always want the coach who's going to call out the player, because it doesn't always end up well. And I think what LaViolette does understand is that, you know, Mika is one of those guys who might not answer to that. Right. Like, you can threaten him all you want, but it doesn't mean you're going to get more out of him. And not that you're getting more out of him right now, but like, you still have to manage those relationships, you know? And that's honestly, that's kind of the issue with scratching Kako that I had, was that Kako is always like, there's something about Kaapo Kakko that just makes him easy to take out of the lineup. Right. Like, it happened with Gallant. It's just, and while he doesn't always deserve it, there is something about him that's there that's like, right? Like, that makes him the guy.
And
I don't know what that is. Maybe it's like a lack of emotion, but there's no one. I don't think Kako deserved to sit at all in that game. Don't get me wrong. But for whatever reason, LaViolette felt that Kako could handle it mentally better than a guy like Mika can, you know? And I feel bad for Kako because I've talked to him a lot over the past year. And, you know, he's a guy too that is very mental. Like, when he's confident, you can feel it. When he's not confident, he definitely is in his own head. And I'm curious to see how he responds, because he hasn't necessarily always responded well to these situations.
I think he's going to have, like, regardless whether it's here or anywhere else, I think he's going to have a really long career in the NHL. I just think like, he just needs to find his spot. And I don't know if it's here. Like, I just,
well, what bothers me about Kako, not about Kako, him, about how he was, I guess, how he was treated last night, was that this year was the first year where Kako really has been like in a position to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I think in previous years he's been put on the top line and like maybe, you know, had a look on the power play once in a blue moon. And, you know, the pressure is on his shoulders of like, I have to be this top six guy. I have to be this first line guy. And this year he came in, and granted, while the conversations with LaViolette weren't necessarily there, he understood his role was to play with Cooley and Hedl and just be an effective third line guy. And he thrived in that. And that line was great. And now they've toyed with it. They've messed with it. And that chemistry is kind of gone a bit, right? Like, they messed with a good thing. And
yeah,
I don't know.
That line was so good at the beginning of the year, and they just messed it up. And you know, one thing I'll say about Kako, I mean, I've definitely been somewhat of a critic of him over the past years, but he's been playing really well. And you know, it's tough because there's not much to play for right now. And that brings me to kind of like the biggest point I wanted to make tonight was, wouldn't you think, you know, that a team so down in the dumps right now, like, needs to look to find some form of hope and could find that through like a veteran leader. Like, I don't really know if I agree with the decision to not name a captain.
Who would you name?
Like, I would name Trocheck. I would name
Vinny.
I mean, if they were waiting to, if they're waiting till next year, I would go Lafreniere. But if they're, they're like,
Why?
Yeah. Because I feel like I don't know. I just see the McDavid thing in him, you know, same player. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. Relax.
Yeah, I always just find it, hard to like say who we think should be captain because we just don't know like what happens on a day to day basis with them. But I think if there's anybody from a fan's perspective that should be the guy, it's Trocheck.
Other than that,
it's like we don't know. Like, it's always been like, why hasn't it been Kreider? Why hasn't it been Kreider? It's like maybe he's just not like that super vocal when like the doors are closed and like we just.
I feel like he is.
Yeah, but we just don't know.
Honestly think he just doesn't want it. I think he just doesn't want it.
He's not a very loud spoken guy, Chris Kreider.
But when the team needs him, he speaks up, which is what a leader does.
How do you know that?
Because I've seen the fucking quotes, like, since this shit's been going on.
There are people that are available to media. We don't know what it's like when there's no one in there. We don't.
I mean,
and
sure.
That's why Trouba was named captain and people had a problem with that because no one knows what it's like when those doors are shut. And Trouba was the guy that was the leader in the room when no one was around. Like, that's why it is hard. But, like, from the public perspective, like, yeah, Kreider answers questions.
Yeah, so why are you saying no to Loft?
So does Vinny, and so does Fox. Because Loft doesn't always answer questions. Loft isn't always available in media after the games. He was last night.
Johnny is going to pick with him.
He's not a normal. No, it's not even his choice necessarily. So here's how it works after the game. Like, players are told by PR, like, who is available, who's not. Like on the road, too, you know, every road locker room, on the whiteboard, it says like media, and there's like four numbers under there for the players that are made available to media. But then there are some guys who might tell PR, like, hey, I don't want to talk tonight. Yeah. You know, like that's kind of how it works. But it's not like every guy is at their stall. We walk in and some guys just walk out. Like, you walk into the room and there's like three guys left in there or four guys left in there, and it changes from night to night. But typically, you know, there are guys who feel the need to answer all the questions, which is typically it's been Vinny.
Mika's
answered a lot of questions too.
But that brings me back to my question. Wouldn't you think at a time where a team's at its absolute lowest and they need to look to some form of light to bring the team up, like, it just makes logical sense to say, I mean, listen, here's the thing, right? Like, they know who their leaders are. Like, just like you said, we don't know, but they know who their leaders are. And I feel like it just makes so much more sense to, like, find some form of stability instead of just wait it out again indefinitely or however long they're going to wait. That's, like, one thing I kind of disagree with.
Well, they're waiting it out to make the right choice.
We know the right choice, bro. It's me.
But you know what I mean? Like, you trade this captain, your last – I mean, not McDonough, I think, was a – McDonough and Callahan, I thought, were both great captains, but, like, you know, they get traded. Like, it's not like the easiest decision to make all the time. And, you know, I think right now, if you had to look at the, like, clear fan perspective, emotional leader, I think it's Vinny.
Absolutely. It's not even really a question. Like, if you look at everybody in this locker room, like I said, from a fan's perspective, because we don't know what happens in the locker room.
But also that 21-22 run, there was no captain. Remember that? Like,
for sure. Yeah, no. Probably. I think like, I don't think you necessarily need it, but to Cody's point, like, something has to happen. And like, if it's not going to be firing the coach or the GM to like change the mindset of a lot of guys, give a guy a C, like, get the guys fired up. Like,
that. You need a spark plug, man. You need a charge. Listen, this team, I think we all agree this team's dead in the water right now. Like, they're not showing any signs of life. Like, vibes are not good. I just feel like some form of stability would help them at least get back on the right track. You might absolutely be right. I mean, you especially, like, you probably know more than I do. That's the only time I compliment you ever in that regard. But, like, I just don't agree with that decision. I think it's just not a smart idea. For Laviolette to come out and say, like, yeah, no, we feel real great about this leadership group. Like, we're good as is. Like, I just think that's not the right message at a time where, like, this team needs stability to get their shit together.
But I don't think you always need a letter on your chest to be a leader. Like,
no, I mean,
like,
don't.
Someone will emerge as a leader from this. Like, that's I think the approach they're taking, right? Like, who will be the voice now that Trouba is gone? Like, I think that's what you're looking at more than like, we don't know who our captain is. Like, I think they want to give it some time to breathe so that, you know, a guy like Vinny or even a guy like Fox, like, they might challenge Adam to like be that guy to step up and be the leader, you know? Like, I think that's what it's more about as opposed to not having the right guy.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes sense.
Yeah. Speaking of Fox, what's your take on his gameplay?
Listen, I think it's been tough for him because I think I'm not putting the blame on somebody else, but I don't think Ryan Lindgren has been very good. And playing with Lindgren has not helped his game at all. I think he was good when he was playing with Keandre, even though Keandre wasn't at his best, but Lindgren right now has struggled and it's obvious.
Yeah. He's been brutal.
And, you know, I think the whole blue line has not been great. You know, I thought Jonesy was really good when he stepped in, and then the last couple of games, Jonesy's been tough. He's struggled. Mancini, I think he's been struggling, you know, the last couple of games.
That pass was that. Oh,
I don't see anyone on the blue line right now that's been this guy's bringing it every night.
Yeah,
you know, Schneider, I don't think has been like bad. I don't have anything bad.
He's been fine. He's been fine. Like, Fox hasn't been good, but he hasn't been like, you know, he hasn't been like, holy shit, bad.
I don't think he's been a problem. I just don't think he's been up to par.
But yeah. But again, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing about it, though, even before the Rangers went on this skid, like, our talk the entire time was, hey, they need a defenseman. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And now it's like, I don't even know what they do because they need literally half of a D-line to fix this team. I don't know. I mean,
what they really need is for something to go positively once, and then they can maybe build off that. If they have one good game with a complete 60-minute effort and like domination,
but they did though against Pittsburgh. That was a pretty fucking good game, dude. Like
that was probably the best game they've played as of late. But there were still moments in that game where I think Lizotte's first goal, it was like the parting of the Red Sea. Lizotte came right down the fucking slot untouched.
But that was in like the first like 3 minutes or something. And then
that was the second period.
Oh, it was? I don't remember. All right, anyways.
You know, you guys know I haven't really watched, but I know that trading Fox.
How many more times do you say it?
About as many as I can, bro. You know me. Adam Fox, if anybody thinks that he should be traded, like, that's so stupid. That's my one thing that I've seen on the internet that I hate. And number two is
Igor.
If you think that Igor contract was bad, you're out of your mind. There's maybe 15 to 20 teams in the NHL that would have paid the same amount of money to have him. He's a top three goalie in the league, and he will be for the next X amount of years. You need that. And if it comes to a position where like we get to take Meek off the books, like, money doesn't really matter. So it's like, we knew this. We had to do it. He's the guy.
Also, I want to add to Avery, like, very, very clear. This situation the Rangers are in right now is not an Igor problem. It is.
Yeah, bro, we'd be 3-30.
D-line is letting up 40 shots a night. It's tough for any goaltender in the league, doesn't matter who he is, to win games when your D-line is letting up 40 plus shots a night. It's almost impossible.
Well, the argument though on the other side is that when you pay a goalie so much that you can't put the right guys in front of him to not allow that.
But the right guys are in front of him. That this team has been so good on paper. They were two wins away from the Stanley Cup. Like, why? If you take Igor out of the lineup tomorrow and have all that money, what are you doing with it? That's going to make the team that much better.
That's right. Yeah, I agree with you, Avery. Exactly. I think, and listen, we know you're talking about the Big Apple Hockey guys, and I do like those guys. I've gone on their show a couple times, like, and I disagree with them on this take all the time. Like, I know it's John that you're talking about. He put out the clip, right?
I mean, I saw that clip specifically, but I've also seen like other stuff. I'm not pinning it straight on them, but I did. Yeah. That was the clip that I saw.
Yeah. So John is a big time, like, you can't pay your goalie that much money, like. He pounds that drum and I respect it, but I argue with him all the time too, but his point is like, well, you have average goalies like Matt Murray and Corey Crawford and, you know, all these guys, Binnington, who won cups, but outside of Binnington, maybe, like, those teams had a Crosby and like these generational guys that were also like killers.
Matt Murray was also insane. He went on an insane run when he won the Cup.
But that's like the point he's making. You can just get one of those guys who can get hot at the right time. But not re-signing Eeyore doesn't just get you a Crosby, McKinnon. You know,
yeah, these are like drafted guys.
Game changer guys.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the Rangers are doing, and they're trying to lose so much that we win the lottery again. Food for thought.
Nah, when's McDavid's deal up?
I think 2027.
Yeah, no, cool. I think it's sooner than that. McDavid.
Sooner?
Yeah, I think it's like next 2026 maybe.
He's dude.
Leon just signed.
It doesn't even matter because if we don't win a cup by 2027, which we're probably not going to at this rate, it's not going to be good for our friend Avery.
Like Davis 26, 27, a UFA.
Is cap friendly dead? Yeah, cap friendly's dead.
Where the cap's on?
You've literally been about that. Like, where the fuck have you been?
Yeah, I've just been remote, man. I'm like, I'm a legit refugee, bro.
Yeah. Cap wages is what I use.
Yeah.
But no, 26, 27, I mean, McDavid UFA.
Yeah, wow. But we're getting off topic. Like, that's, we all agree on that. Like, the Rangers had to pay Eeyore. This team does not go without Eeyore. Put their last 15 games aside, this team would be dead in the water for the next 5 years without Eeyore Shesterkin. They were not built that way. You see all the problems this team has. They need three defensemen at minimum, probably maybe even four, who knows. And they need a first center. Like, none of the, with all this shit, like, without Eeyore, we're toast. That's it. We're toast. Quick looks terrible.
That it?
That's it. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'll say it again. I haven't watched, so I really don't have much more. You know,
talk to you guys in 2 months.
Nah.
Yeah. Well, let's address what's been going on. Like, I feel bad because we do have a lot of people that tweeted us. Like, we need the show. We want the show. Like, the three of us are just so on different schedules right now. It's so hard to do this.
Yeah, John.
But this was fun.
Before we get into that, when you don't fucking watch.
I know.
Guys, before we get into that, I have a story to tell. Actually, I have a story I want my friend to tell.
Wait, before you say that, can we maybe record after? Because I'm going to the game on Sunday. Now I'm almost forced to watch. So
I would hope.
Yeah, we can record next week. But
are you working? Are you working, Johnny?
I'll be there Sunday. Yeah, but I'll be free after.
I have a friend who met a girl at a karaoke bar, and I kind of want to hear the story.
Oh, yeah. You should talk about that on here. That's sick.
Okay.
He met like a famous TikTok girl.
So she fabricated that TikTok a little bit. Like, what is it? Let me ask
you. Which one, the video?
What does it seem like happened? Because I haven't really asked this question.
It seems like we're at a karaoke bar. She was singing a song.
And I just went up there.
No, well, she probably
that's the picture I think she painted, but that's not what happened.
So tell us. Set the story straight.
After the Rangers Blackhawks game, I actually walked back from the garden and my friend Jack called me and was like, "Yo, I'm at Bond Street with these five girls. Come hang out with us. Like, they're all good looking. Like, you would totally hit it off with them. Just come hang out." This is a 10:30 night on a Monday.
It's a great call.
And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not gonna fall asleep till midnight, 12:30 anyway. I'll go for one drink. Why not? So I sat down with them, got one drink. I was there for probably 45 minutes. Like, you know, we were talking about the United Healthcare CEO thing. It was that day when Luigi like came out.
Yeah.
So that was like a whole conversation, whatever. But my friend Jack was like, "Oh, this is so fun. Like, let's keep the night going. Let's go do karaoke." And I was like, "Down, let's do it." So got into an Uber with them. You know, this is, again, I met this girl 45 minutes. I was sitting next to her, talking to her, only got her first name, which is Sam. Didn't know her last name, whatever. And at karaoke, like, the girls all picked a song to sing. And I was like, "All right, I'm picking 4 to 5 seconds. I need someone to sing with me. Sam, do you want to sing with me?" Like, I asked her to sing with me. She's like, "Yeah, let's do it." So,
and you didn't know she was this insane singer?
She sang. She was the first one to sing and she fucking crushed. She was like an unbelievable singer. This place, by the way, it's called Baby Grand. It's on like, I think, E17th.
It's a vibe. Karaoke is my number one thing.
Oh my God. This is like a karaoke bar. Like, it's just, karaoke. And there's this one guy named Ben who had three different outfits for three different songs that he, like, a random guy that was just there, and he was unbelievable. It was like so much fun.
Yeah, some people live for that shit. There was a place in Miami called Sweet Caroline. It was like a vibe.
Oh, I've been there. That place is great.
Yeah, it's insane. Caroline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so finish the story.
Yeah,
sorry, I interrupted.
So she sings, her friends sing. You know, I was like one of the last ones to go. She came up with me, and like, obviously, we didn't know each other that well, but like, we were vibing. right? Like you can see it in the video. And then after, like literally as soon as the song stopped, everyone was like, kiss, kiss, kiss. And we kiss. And then,
wow, there was, where was that?
Yeah, that wasn't, that didn't make the video.
Oh, shit.
Can't prove it, but it was, you know,
okay. I believe you.
On the cheek, though?
Yeah. No, lips. And then
we ended up going to this bar.
we went to this bar called Sophie's. Like, it's kind of like a.
Yeah, I know Sophie. Sophie's a great spot.
In the East Village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so we went there, and I kept talking to her there. And the night just, like we left Sophie's, and it was like, should we have food? Should we go home? And then one of her friends, like, our Uber's here, and, like, she had to go. And I just, like, never asked her for a number.
Well, and then it went pretty viral on TikTok. Yeah. But listen,
like I think it's fabricated in the way that like I didn't just.
How'd you like find out that it just like randomly went viral if you didn't follow her on social?
Someone sent me the TikTok,
and you were just like, "What the fuck?"
I thought it was pretty cool, so I was like kind of hyped.
Yeah, as you should be. I think it's great, but and then I saw a TikTok
the text one. I was like, what the fuck?
The text was a little
tough. She fucking blasted you, dude.
Yeah.
She fucking blasted you. What a cute pooper, huh?
But Johnny, what I love about you, Johnny, is that you're you. You don't try to be anybody else. That's an exact text I would expect out of you. So Sam, if you're listening, he's the realest guy on the planet. He's just gonna call you a cute pooper. Yeah. If you guys continue to talk, so
yeah, I will say there is an update. So she does live in LA. We have been texting, but she's coming back to New York in February. I'll take her out in February. And then I actually am going to LA for a week in March. So
nice.
We'll see what happens.
What are you going there for?
I have my best friend's bachelor party in Vegas, and he lives in LA. So I'm just gonna go from Vegas to LA and spend the next week with him because the Rangers are actually in LA that week. They play the Ducks, the Kings, and the Sharks. So I'm gonna go to the Kings and Ducks games. Figured it's a good trip to go to because the Rangers will play Truba, so we'll get to talk to Truba for the first time.
Cinderella story. Wow, look at this. And listen, when the wedding happens, just make sure Cody and I have a seat next to each other.
You guys are the same table, 1,000%. Cody, you're not my best man.
I'm your best man, dude. Always.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
For sure, bro. Yeah. I invite
Alex and AJ though. Like, I don't know if they're invited.
Yeah, I would invite them. That'd be a vibe. Yeah.
Maybe AJ, not Alex.
They'll be at my wedding, so
dude, Alex will be so mad.
All right.
Oh my god.
You guys got anything?
They would say obscene things.
Yeah,
sorry.
That would be good. That would be good. Don't fuck it up, Johnny. You fucking moron.
Hey, I'm in New York I'm in New York until January 10th. If you guys want,
to get together.
I'm going to Florida next week, and then I'm back early the first, and then I'm going to the Hamptons. But I'll be back January 2nd, so we can.
Hey, my birthday's on the 4th. Maybe we do.
The Rangers play at home against Boston on the 2nd. You guys want to go to you guys want to do something after that game?
I'd be down.
There's an idea.
Yeah, I'm in. Lock me in.
We can make it like a thing, an American whiskey or something. We can have.
I love how we make plans. I love how we make plans live on the air. Yeah. And I actually think people enjoy listening to our plans, and everybody else is invited too. If you're
yeah, why not?
Some post game American whiskey.
Man, I love that place. Actually, I went on a date before I went to Tokyo, and I stopped in there before. I just
before. That was when you left me.
Yeah, I left Cody, and I had so much time because the date was like late at night. So I stopped in American Whiskey to get a beer to calm me down. It was great spot. Yeah, maybe two.
How'd it go, but dude?
That's another thing. Right now, I'm not drinking, so I'm not drinking till further notice.
Okay,
but yeah,
did you get fat?
No, it's not even that. I just don't like the way I feel after I drink. It's really ass. Yeah,
so you're smoking?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Not before the pod, though. Nope, completely sober.
Nice. All right. Love you guys.
Love you guys too.
They don't get an LFGR until we
fight. Why not?
Until we get it together. All right, LFGR, baby.